again, we're going to do, keep going with the Holy Spirit. The job I do, I'm going to try to make this real short. I've been doing for almost a year. It's a dedicated run. I don't want to go to about one place. That's it, 99% of the time. Before that, I would go to different places in this area, Atlanta to Montgomery to Huntsville, just different places. One of the places I went to in Montgomery to deliver is a cement place where trucks come in, they fill it up, and they go out. They change managers, and you can see it almost, you know, 1 week I went down there, the old manager's there, and there's piles of rock here that they're not using, just scrap piles of stuff here. The building looks almost in shambles, and it's not very organized. Well, I go back the next week, it's all cleaned up, kind of. Even the driver's room is cleaned up, and the bathroom's been got new fixtures in it, and everything looks better. So I go up there to get my paperwork signed, they got a new manager. And he's just, I mean, instantly I just felt something. I just, you know, I didn't know exactly what it was. So I've been a year now, I hadn't been down there but about once in that year, and he's still there. I went Friday, I think it was. I walked up there, and I know his name, I got his phone number, so I need to call him about the job or anything. His name's David Harris. And he's got his little room fixed up. He's got a couch and a chair in it for, you know, he'll invite the drivers to come up there and sit. Used to drivers that come up there. And he's just got this spirit about him that makes, I mean, to me, I was just drawn to him. He's like a brother. And I didn't understand it. I said, well, you know, some people is just nice. Well, I walked in there that one day, Friday, I think it was. And he's doing his job over here at his desk, and over here he's got a little, like a TV tray, and it's got a Strong's Concordance and a big study Bible open up the book of Colossians. And he said, hey, we said, hey, and I said, I like what you're studying there, brother. He said, yeah, we're doing a study. We got to talking. Come to find out, he's not only born again, he's a pastor. I'm going to say, I don't know for sure what size it is, but he said, you know, there are not many people, but have a church down there in Montgomery. How many know that's how come me and him get along so well? I mean, it was like instantly, it was like friends. And I told him, I said, I knew there was something about you. He said, I did you too. But he said, I just figured we know we're just friendly to each other and talk. I said, no, that's Holy Spirit. I said, I've been studying on it. He said, yeah, you're right. I said, our spirit bears witness. The spirit will bear witness with itself and with each other. This morning I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as the intercessor. As I've been studying this, in the King James Version, Jesus uses the word comforter whenever you read. But if you read and study and amplified and study it out, every place Jesus uses the word comforter or Holy Spirit, he also uses advocate, intercessor, helper, every place. And I noticed that as I've been studying it. And that helps us get a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. As we've seen before and talked about, when we recognize the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, he has the same divine attributes as God the Father and God the Son. He's taken Jesus' place here on earth. He's Jesus' helper and our helper. He helps Jesus do Jesus' work for us here on earth. That's his job. And he also testifies of Jesus. He is our comforter. Whenever we need, that's part of our hope. And we'll get into that a little later. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. And he's the sensitive part. He's sensitive. He guides us in the will of the Father. He's sensitive with us because he abides in us. He's indwelled. And he abides with us. He goes everywhere we go. If you ever think you ain't got nobody in this world, you better know you got Jesus, because Holy Spirit's there with you, taking Jesus' place, because Jesus can't be with all of us at once. He is a man. That's a limitation. Even though he's in heaven, he's limited. That's the only way. But Holy Spirit is not. He can be with us all. He's indwelled in all of us, and he abides and walks with all of us. And that was what the last thing I talked about was, he's sensitive as the dove to our feelings, our emotions. And that ties in today as we're going to talk about Holy Spirit, the intercessor. The word intercessor means someone who appeals on the behalf of another person having to do with that person or a situation. Biblically, according to the Bible, Holy Spirit is our intercessor with our Father. Holy Spirit's never going to do anything outside the will of the Father. He only hears the will of the Father. Now, he has a choice, but he's only going to do the will of the Father. The reason it has choice is because he's our example. He leads us. We have a choice. We are to only do the will of the Father. Our problem is we got two other parts of us to deal with, and the Holy Spirit knows about them. Father knows about them. The Son knows about them. And that's our soul and our flesh. Our spirit always wants to do what God wants done. That's the part of us that God created that is most like Him. It's all like Him. The other parts of us, we kind of, I don't know how to put it, heightened that part, especially the flesh part, allowing sin into the world. Therefore, we are susceptible to human desires. We eat because our body gets hungry. That's part of this world. And then it goes on down to where, you know, there's bad desires, lust, strong desires. But we thirst because we're part of this world. But the word intercessor means someone who appeals on behalf of another person, depending on the situation. So we see that Holy Spirit is intercessor by name, but it's also His ministry for us to the Father. And it's a very important one. This morning we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 8. There they are. I lost my glasses. I'm going to read some verses that may not appear to be in context, but to me they are. That's what the Lord gave me. We're going to be starting verse 14. I might think I changed it to 13. No, 14. We're going to be reading from verse 14 to verse 28. I'm going to start out, I'm going to read all of this, and we're going to go back and touch some things on it. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye, meaning us, born-again believers, have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, which means Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's where I was telling you about my brother in Montgomery. The Spirit was bearing witness there, and I just didn't realize it until recently. I'm going to repeat that again. The Spirit itself, Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffered with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, once again, Lord, to be here at this place, Father God. together worshiping you, Lord, exalting your mighty name and lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you give clarity, Lord, to me, Lord, and not, Lord, say anything about me, but that you and your word and your Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord, be glorified. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we go back and see in verses 14 or 17, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That gives witness to what Jesus told us. The Holy Spirit is indwelled in us and abides in us. So therefore, Paul is preaching this, sending this letter again to the Romans. So we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Before you were born again, you were in the bondage of fear. All of us was. We had no hope. The hope we thought we had, and if you'll look back and see and think in your life, if you ever got to a point where you think things were getting better and then they got worse and then they get better, what was that hope? Hope is not anything that you can see. But when it happens and the hope that you had is crushed, what was it? It's false hope. It's not real hope. It's not good hope. Born-again believers should not have that. Born-again believers have a real hope. And we'll get into just a little bit more of that in a minute. We have something that, like the song Travis picked, I like it, says, the joy that I have, the world can't take it away. The hope that we have, the world cannot take it away. The world can't match it. The world can't do anything with it except set back and call us weird. That's about all they can do. Sometimes when they will listen to their spirit, when the Holy Spirit is dealing with them, when He's talking to them and saying, you can have this weird thing that you see in these people. You know, 99% of the time, if you'll think back, if you've ever got to lead someone to Christ, a lot of times it's because they see something in you or in those weird people they really want. But they're, for lack of a better word, afraid. What did we just read? We're not in a bondage again of fear. That's the lie of the devil. He is the lie and the father of it. But we have hope that they can't touch. We have something that they can't have unless they accept it. And God will freely give it. But you have to be born again to have it. But He bears witness with our spirit and gives us that hope. And what's the most important thing about it, and I didn't realize it till I got born again, because I had lived like I'd lived, thinking I was born again, but I couldn't ever get back where I wanted to be with God, to where I wouldn't let go. Till I got older here. You know what happened? It became real. The Holy Spirit makes things real for us. He makes you see and know and feel that you've never seen or felt or known before. That becomes real to you. And when it becomes real, you won't let go of it. And if you do let go of it for whatever reason, you'll want it back. Your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit's sensitive. He does not want anything but the best for us according to God's will. God does not want anything but the best for us because He knows what we need. Even though it may not be what we want, He knows what we need. When we ask to be stronger, He don't instantly make us stronger. I found that out the hard way. He gives you little or big old trial to go through. But it makes you stronger. For the lack of a better term, it makes your spiritual muscles stronger. Just like when these guys that do football and working out, why, how come you lift weights? Get bigger, get stronger. You want to get your spiritual muscles stronger? Well, the only way you can get your spiritual muscles stronger is go through something that's going to cause you some pain. Just like working out causes your muscles pain. When you feel a little pain, it means your muscles are getting bigger. Well, God knows for us to get spiritually stronger that we have to experience something that's going to make us spiritually stronger. And Holy Spirit is down here to help us with that. And then it says on further, and I really like that part. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I just can't help that. I read that last night. I started to go in there and tell April, but I knew she was trying to go to sleep. It just stood out to me. It's like one of them things again as my revelation. I've read it and 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 I've heard it and I've read it. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And that also means we don't have to fear. That's an emotion that we suffer. And I know we feel it, but we suffer it in this body because of this world. When that emotion starts, if you don't act on it the right way, it becomes a spirit. And then you're in trouble. But you can, if you're born again, you can still get out of it. And then the last part of the verse, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry Abba, Father. Hallelujah. That's enough right there. I could spend several 45 minutes talking about that. And then it goes on, the words does, and says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We've been adopted. You know how we got adopted? Because we have the human term, a stepbrother, the man Jesus. What he did pulled us in back into the family of God where we were at to start with in the Garden of Eden before we let sin disrupt our lives. That's a slightly different message. That we are the children of God, and if children, and we are, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You know, that's another one of them scriptures last night that just hit me all of a sudden. An heir. Who's your heirs? Most of the time it's your family. 99% of the time. Whenever you pass on in our carnal world and you pass on, your heirs are the people that receive everything that what? That belong to you. It just said we're heirs of God. We receive everything that belongs to God. That belongs to Jesus because we're joint heirs with Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. But then there's this part of the verse we also, like I was talking about a while ago, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, we think sometimes all of our suffering is for our testing benefit. Not so. What did that just say? If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Part of our suffering is so we will be glorified. I think I like suffering a little better now. You know, I didn't never like it before. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do my best with this test. I'd get up and trip and fall and get up and trip and fall. Oh, Lord, help me get up and trip and fall. But now all that tripping and falling is doing me some good, not just spiritually. And we're not just talking about in the spiritual realm here. We're talking about in time to come, if you study this out. Because in the end, the born again, the children of God, the followers of Jesus, those that belong to God, win. The devil is defeated. We're just in a kind of a long battle. Now, I'm 61 years old, and I feel like I've been on this earth a pretty fair amount of time. But it's hard for me to fathom eternity. I would hate to know I had to live eternity. But I know that I can if I had to, because God would make a way. But I would hate to know I had to live like I'm living, which is not real bad, and have to stay that way for eternity. You know, God knows that. A lot of this wasn't in my message, but here we go. Therefore, we have everything God gives us to walk, to talk, to learn, to abide. Holy Spirit abides with us. He is indwelled in us. But we have a time. And we're training for that time. That time is called eternity. And when we get to the attorney, the last part of that verse is where it speaks of it, glorified together. Together doesn't all together mean just us together. It means us together with our Father and our Savior in heaven. We would be glorified. How? We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Can you imagine how Jesus is glorified right now after his crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and ascension? That's how we're going to be glorified. For eternity. Now, do I know all the little details? No, I don't. I know quite a few of them. The Bible speaks of them. But all I know is I've got this hope that I haven't seen yet that's going to come to pass, that I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm going to be glorified just as he's glorified, because Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. I about got happy. I'm still happy. And I got to remember now, whenever these trials come on me, that my suffering is not, you know, God's not trying to teach us a lesson anyway. My suffering is not for my test altogether. It's so I'm going to be glorified. I mean, it stands to reason. If you want to be glorified, you're going to have to suffer, because Jesus suffered and then he's glorified. And we're going to be the same way. Now, I looked up that word heirs in verse 17. It's in the Strong's Concordance. It's a Greek word. I should have already said this, and I forgot to. I got happy. Kleronomos. I think I said it right. And what it means is an inheritor, possessor. Possess means it belongs to you. And the form of the word don't mean that you're going to get it or you had it and lost it. It means you got it. We possess it. We're just waiting for the manifestation. We're fixing to get in that. Goodness gracious. I've got to hurry. Okay, moving right along. Now, Paul's writing here. The next few verses, I may skip a couple of them here. It gets a little deep, but if you read it and study it, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us," which I've been, sounded like I've been blabbing about for the last 10 minutes, but it's not. The 61 years I've spent here on earth so far have built up for me, at least when I'm since I've been born again in 2014, have built up for me a glorification with the Father. And what I'm going through down here now is nothing compared to what the Father's got in store for me for eternity. And I own it already. It's mine. And y'all own it. It's y'all's. Claim it. And he says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." I used to stumble on these verses. What in the world is he talking about? I got to studying it last night. And what it means is, you know, not only humankind was affected by the sin we let enter in this world. The whole creation was affected by it. And the whole creation, just like we were affected by it, and we suffered through it and are suffering through it, is suffering through this sin in the world, this bondage. The whole creation, the whole world, the land, the sea, the animals, the air, everything is suffering because it is not the creation that God intended for us. And what those verses means is the world, not the people so much of the world, the creation is looking forward to that time when we will be glorified. Because you know what? The creation knows it's going to be glorified too. Now, if a mountain of dirt out there knows that the sons of God are to be revealed and the glorifications take place, why does not the sons of God know it? Now, I'm not saying we don't know it. I'm saying, why does not any one son of God not know it or realize it? I'm not going to answer that. I'm just going to leave that out there. But the whole creation waits for this time, this glorification. looking earnestly. What does God's word say? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now what does verse 14 say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or the children of God. Sons and daughters. And verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I want to read those two verses in the Amplified. Verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation of irrational creatures, that's what I was talking about, the land and the sea, they're created. Well, when we talk about creatures, we like to think about living things, but in God's eyes, they're alive because He created them. We know that the whole creation of irrational creatures have been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. The pains of labor goes to the effect, I mean, you women, I'm sure, can associate with this. Labor pains are birthing pains. That's the kind of groaning that the creation's going through, waiting for the glorification of the sons of God, where they'll experience their glorification. And verse 23 says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves too, who have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is a foretaste of the blissful things to come. Groan inwardly, just as the creation groans. And as we wait for the redemption of our bodies from sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption and our manifestation as God's Son. That's a strong verse right there. Number one. Sometimes I don't like glasses. We ourselves too have and enjoy the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is a foretaste of blissful. The word blissful means like utopia. I mean, you just can't get no better. Everything is, you know, birds are singing, everybody's happy, the sun is shining. That's what bliss means, to put it in a nutshell. But we're going to have even more of that through being, because we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we have through Jesus and the work He did on the cross. But as we live in this world, we're grown inwardly with sensuality and the grave. What does that mean? You have to deal with your body in this world, your flesh. I don't know that I'm thinking of an example, but I'm just going to kind of say it like this. We all know that we have times in our born-again life, as Paul said, you know, I want to do what I want to do, but I don't do what I want to do because I'm doing what I want to do. If that makes sense. It didn't used to make sense to me, but it does now. In other words, we are the ruler of our body. But what we tell it to do always does not feel good. Even when we know that it is good for us, when we're doing God's work in our life. Like this morning, I worked on my truck too long yesterday. I got a pain or two. It does not feel good to stand up here. But praise God, I'm healed. That pain will go away. Right now, I don't feel it too much. And later, I ain't going to feel it at all. But I'm doing with my body something that does not feel good. That's just a small example. In daily life, we have to go through things and do things that make us go, ugh, that we just don't know how we're going to deal with it. We have to give it to God. When you give it to God, remember the Holy Spirit's in you, and He's walking with you. He's sensitive. He knows what you're feeling. He sees what you're feeling. He sees what you're going through. This is where His intercessor ministry starts. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I've done it. I've been through stuff so hard sometimes that I know Jesus said, do not make vain repetitions in your prayers, the heathen do. And I'd have to stop myself because I'd already asked God five times the same thing I'm fixing to say again. I know He heard me. God's not deaf. And then the Holy Spirit, this is where the Holy Spirit works. How does He do it? He is sensitive to what you go through, what you feel, what you know, what you see. And He intercedes. He appeals to the Father on your behalf, each and every one of us. Why does He do that? Have you ever had a temptation or a trial or something you're going through that lasted, even though you asked God for deliverance or for help, but you didn't feel like you seen or heard or felt anything that was giving you any kind of results to come out to the good? I'm sure each and every one of us have. I have. And I've prayed and I've prayed. Now, God likes to hear us ask Him and petition Him for things. How many people in here is a parent? How many times you like to hear your kids ask you for stuff? The same thing. I've heard dirt bike from Blake since he was like 10 years old, and he's 14 now. Zach's done it before. All kids do it. I did it to my mom and dad. Daddy, Daddy, did I think He forgot? Well, as human He might have, but our Father did not forget. Our Father can see what we're going through, but He's got a reason for doing what He does. Sometimes it's real hard to hold on to that hope and that reason until you get your result. God's telling us to look, children, Holy Spirit is working for you. I see you. I hear you. He is with you. He is the same as me. He's going to help you get through this. That's our hope. If you wanted to try to put something tangible on it that you can hang on to, that's your hope. Holy Spirit has the same lordship as Lord Jesus Christ. He's equal with the Father, but He only hears and will do what the Father will say. But He's going to be there interceding and helping do everything He can. Now, on the other side of that, He's going to come back to you and He's going to talk to you through your spirit and try to lead you, if you will listen, in the will of the Father. Because when you go through what God has you to go through His will, you will get the hope. It's at the end of it. You'll get your results. It might take a lot longer than you want. I know it did me lots of times. But when I got there, praise God, it was awesome, and it still is. And I know I'm going to have more. Now, what does that do? I just had a spiritual workout, each and every one of us. When you get through going through what you're going through in life, you had a spiritual workout. It don't matter if it lasted 10 minutes and God fixed it or if it lasted 10 months and God fixed it. You just had a spiritual workout. Your next one should not be as feel as bad to you. Now, I'm going to be the first one to stand up here and say, it ain't always the way I feel. But I'm getting better, and I'm going to continue to get better. How am I going to continue to get better? Because the Holy Spirit is interceding for me with the Father, then comes back to me and says, look, this is the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father, and you will be here. Just keep doing it. Well, how do you keep walking in the Spirit? No matter how it looks, you do it in steps. What do you do when you walk? You take steps. It didn't say those that run in the Spirit. It says those that walk by the Spirit. You look up and you say, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. And you can even ask Him to help you understand. He may or may not. But I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to continue to do Your will for my life until this is over. And when it's over, you don't only gain spiritual muscle, you gain honor with God. God already honors us, and He makes us righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, but He honors us in other ways because He sees that we're obedient in what we go through. But if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, sometimes a lot of us might not make it. Now, the redemption Where was I at? Verse 23. The redemption of our body. When we pass through the grave is a door for all people. Born-again believers, it's a glorious door, even though we don't feel like it probably, or think about it in that sense. Because we pass from this world into God's world, eternity. I like the way Brother Tony Evans says that we pass from history into eternity. Because we only live a short time here, and we live forever there. But when we do that, we were redeemed. Our body is redeemed. We go from this worldly, fleshly body into a glorious body, such as Jesus already has. And whenever we do that, that takes away where the verse says, O grave, where is thy sting? We ain't going to care nothing about the grave anymore. We ain't going to care about nothing about what we suffered down here anymore, because we're going to be glorified. We're going to be in a place that, praise God, we ain't never going to want to leave. And that's what the verse means. Verse means there when it says the redemption of our body. And whenever the whole plan takes place, the whole planet, the creation, is waiting on that redemption, just like we are. That's the reason, as a born-again person, you look forward to the return of Jesus. If you're still alive and you get raptured out, or if you're already passed away, you're already experiencing it. I'm supposing, I'm not been there, but that's what I'm going to believe. That's what God's Word says. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. If you're going to be present with the Lord, you're going to be glorified. There ain't no two ways around that. But I really love that hope. That's our most assured hope. There's not another better hope in this whole world. Now let's move along here. Verse 24 talks about our hope again. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man saith, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. April tell you, I'm probably one of the most impatient people you'll ever meet in your life. Now, I'm real laid back. I don't do a lot of things real fast, but I'm real impatient. Ask Brother Johnny. I cut the exhaust out of my brand new motorcycle. It wasn't even a day old. Well, I said, Brother, I said, some people would have a fit knowing I had a brand new. I'm talking about, it might have been a week old. It wasn't very old. And I had a drill cutting part of the exhaust out where it'd be louder, because that's what I wanted. I didn't want to wait until I saved the money and bought some more for it. Well, I can do it this way. I've done, you know, researched it on the internet. And I said, Brother, some people be having a fit. They see me doing this to a brand new bike, and he's holding a little oil can. He said, I'm one of them people, Brother. But he's helping me. Praise the Lord. But I can be very impatient. I try not to be. I ask the Lord to help me with it. But I get that way real easy. But when we have this hope in our spiritual, in our spirit, with the Holy Spirit, we learn to be patient with it. But we look forward to having the end result of that hope, which is going to be our glory and glorified. Verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I know we've all heard that verse before, but praise the Lord. Ain't it awesome to have a real person, spirit person, that knows how to approach the Father when we, for whatever reason, don't? Maybe it's because we're impatient. Maybe it's because we're not meditating. Maybe it's because we're not doing something we're supposed to be doing. But the Spirit, Holy Spirit Himself, He knows how to approach the Father for us. That's awesome. That's just, I mean, we already are born again, sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life through all eternity. But when Jesus leaves, he leaves somebody with us that's going to help us while we're down here in this place. That's awesome. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." Do you know who it is that searches the hearts? Jeremiah 17:10 says, "It is I, the Lord, who searcheth the heart." And that's what that verse is here is talking about. If you paraphrased it, it would say, "And God, who searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he, Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And Lord knows, if we have heard this verse once, we've heard it a million times, but it's not to make any light of it. For we know that all things work to the good together. Here I am, I can quote it and I can't even quote it now. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Brothers and sisters, are you called according to God's purpose? Then everything that I have brought out here this morning is yours. You possess it. You don't have to do anything except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and why he died on the cross to have it. You can't earn it. It's completely by the grace of God, meaning that God loves you so much that he'll let you have it. He's not going to force it on you, but you got to make a choice and you got to have it. So when you make that choice and you're called, we not only have a helper, we have a promise. So now we have a promise, we have a helper. We know that the whole world is looking forward to the same thing that we're looking forward to. The whole creation, the whole planet. Now, what really brought this out to me is if the planet, and somebody might say, "Well, I don't believe what the Bible says." Well, that's fine. One day you will. I'll pray for you. But if the whole planet is looking forward to this redemption of our bodies, and it don't say the redemption of the world, if you notice there in, which verse was it? Verse 23 said, "Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." The key is us. The whole planet is watching us. Not just the people in the world, the whole planet. The people in the world watch us, and some of them want what we have and some don't. Some want to make fun of us. Some don't. Some stay away because they're afraid that they'll get it, and they don't want it for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe they understand more than they think they do, and they don't want to be a Bible-thumping, sissified, Bible-carrying, whatever they think a Christian is. When in reality, you have to become a lot stronger than you did when you lived in the world, because in the world, you got two choices. You live through it, or you die because of it. And you sure don't want to die in the world without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Now, I want to skip down to verse 31. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Man, I read that last night, and I feel it again right now. You know what that means next time I get in trial? April, don't you remind me, go read Romans chapter 8. I might forget. But praise God. We have a promise. We have a promise of a person to help us. And then we have a confirmation. What can we say about these things? Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That means it don't matter who it is. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter, you know, the devil's got power in this world over lost people that don't know Jesus. They don't have any power over us unless you let him. Now, I'll give you a little illustration. When I'm going through my trials and I do things I shouldn't do, and the Lord gets me to listen, sometimes I probably say stuff and do stuff, not real bad, but that's bad for me in my trial. Whenever I do that, I've told you before, and God's Word says we have demons that watch us and listen to us. But whenever you open your mouth, and you, even being born again, and you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit, the devil's going to knock demons down to get to you, to get Ephesians 4:27 working in your life and my life. You know what that says? Do not give the devil place, opportunity. I praise God for His will, His knowledge, His power, and His love. And I thank Him for the Holy Spirit. And I thank Him for each and every one of y'all and the brothers and sisters in Christ that I know are out there, because I happened to meet one the other day. I knew they were there. I just getting to meet one was awesome. That's all I've got this morning. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say or